Shalom to everybody. We have a very interesting topic, as usual. Rav Kook always has something interesting to say. The Gemara in Masechet Shabbat of Nun Daled Amud Aleph talks about, it starts out with a seemingly technical law in Hilchot Shabbat that says as follows, Harichelim Yotzot Kvulot. Maybe I'll just turn off the, I'll mute the everyone.
Yeah.
Mute all. Here we go. Okay. Okay, the klal in the laws of Shabbat is that when you're doing something for an animal, for his sake, he's allowed to wear that thing on Shabbat. For example, if you put a blanket on an animal where there's no eruv, he's allowed to wear that blanket on Shabbat because it's for his needs. But if you put something on the animal for the balabayit's needs, for the owner's needs, then it's not allowed. That's a problem of carrying on Shabbat because our animals aren't allowed to work on Shabbat. So the Gemara deals with several cases where it's not so clear whether this is for the needs of the animal or for the needs of the owner. So the Mishnah says, Harachelim yotzot kavulot. The female sheep are allowed to go out with their covering where they had it. That's what the Gemara is going to ask. Now, my kavulot, what does it mean that the female sheep are allowed to go out on Shabbat with their cables? That's what kevel is literally like in English, a cable. Shemikavlim al yashalehem lamata, that they would tie down the, sheep have a very fat tail. The owner would tie down the tail with a strong cable, kidei shelo ya'alu azcharim al hanekevot, so that the males don't mate with the females. It's talking about where the owner doesn't want the female to become pregnant. Say the sheep is nursing, or the goat is nursing, and he wants the milk, so he doesn't want the cow to become pregnant, the goat to become, or sheep to become pregnant. So what the owners used to do is they would tie down the tail of the sheep so that a male could not mate with them. And the halacha is that this is allowed on Shabbat because it's also for the needs of the sheep. If a female sheep just gave birth and she's nursing, so it's in her better interest not to get pregnant. She could have a rest time. So that is considered for the needs of the sheep, and you are allowed to do that on Shabbat. Then the Gemara asks, "My mashma dahai kavul lishna delo avid pirahava." What is this word kavulot, that the female sheep are allowed to? You're allowed to tie down their tail. Why is it that called kavul? Now this is very interesting because the word kavul literally means tie down. So that's enough. What we're doing is we're tying down the tail of the sheep. And the Gemara gives an interesting proof. Dichtiv, maharim asher natateli achi, vayikra lehem eretz kavul ad hayom hazeh. It's talking about, in Divrei Hayamim, that Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, gave certain cities to Hiram, the city of the king of Lebanon, and they were not good cities, there wasn't good land, and they are called eretz kavul, unfertile land. And so, if something doesn't make fruit, if it's unfertile, it is called kavul. Now, the two obvious questions that we're going to deal with... What? What, you don't see me?
I don't.
Do people see me?
No, the screen share.
Oh, the screen share. Do you people see the screen share?
Yeah. I see just fine. Yeah.
Okay. Great.
Okay.
Sorry. Okay. So the
all
two.
All I see is a blank screen. I don't see the screen share.
You don't see the screen share. Okay.
It's
so let me stop it.
Is sharing a screen, but it doesn't. Oh, right. No, I just see.
Okay.
You.
Now you see us, and now I'm going to share screen again, and hopefully this time, tell me if it works.
I
Now, do you see it?
Yes.
Okay. Now I see it.
Great.
Yeah, okay, me too.
Okay. So again, the two questions that Rav Kook is going to deal with is, first of all, why do we have to tie down with a kevel? Kevel Barzel is used, it's a pasuk in Tehillim, that refers to tying down with a metal cable. And why do we need a metal cable to tie down the tail of the sheep so strong in order that they don't mate? And basically, I'll already foreshadow, Rav Kook is going to deal with the question, why is the Yetzer to procreate, why is that such a strong desire? Why is it such a strong drive? In rabbinic literature, whenever they use the word Yetzer, the drive, it is referring to the sex drive. And the question is, why is that the drive that, if you want to stop the males from the females, you have to tie it down with a metal cable? That's question number one. Question number two, and this Rav Kook is making a very interesting deduction in between the lines. If the word kovlim, haruchim yotzot kivulot, that the sheep, the female sheep, go out on Shabbat, cabled. In other words, they are tied with a cable. There is a word in Hebrew, kavul. So why does the Gemara look for this pasuk in Divrei Hayamim that says that unfertile land is called kavul? We already know the pshat is kavul means tied down. Why do we need this pasuk to make this drasha? What does it add, the drasha, that says that kavul means unfertile, that it won't have fruit? Rav Kook, Enaya, Shabbat, Perakei, Se'iv Zayin. Hacheruta amitit, hi nimtzet behiyot hamatzav mat'im lenetiyot hativiyot, shebiyetzur hahu. Rav Kook, as we have seen together over the years, is a big believer in chirut, freedom. And you don't have to be such a genius to figure out why Rav Kook was a religious Zionist, that he believes that they're in the tikva, in the hope of liot am chofshi ba'artzeinu. But what is true freedom? True freedom isn't what the non-religious call freier yidin, free Jews, that was the term in Yiddish, but a free person is somebody who follows his natural leanings. Sheyetzu elapoal hashalem. Nature is very, very strong, and we should let our nature follow its natural tendencies. Alken, miwa ra'ui l'chirut harachava? Who is the person who deserves true, broad freedom? Not the tsar freedom, not narrow freedom, but broad freedom. Misha kvar ba l'mida zu shekol kach ramu v'tiarun netiotav b'teva. Somebody who has already elevated and purified his leanings, that they are really true. And here it's very clear Rav Kook is differentiating between animalistic or external drives, which you may think are your nature. On the other hand, Rav Kook says if you purify and you elevate your nature, we will find our higher nature, our spiritual and godly nature. For the real me is not my body, it's my soul. And my soul is chelek elukam mimal. My real soul is the spark of God. So accordingly, my real nature, all of our real natures, is to be godly, is to be spiritual, not to be animalistic. Shekol asher yoter yarchivu et sa'adehem litpateach v'latzeto po'alam agamur. That the more a person will broaden his nature, to develop his nature, to develop his talents and his real higher self, yoter yirbu hatova atzlacha la'atzmo ula'olam. The more I'm in touch with myself and my higher nature, my godly nature, the more I am free. And that is good for myself and for the world, and as we'll see, also for the future. Ein lecha ben chorin elamisho seik b'talmud Torah. Chazal teach us in the ethics of our fathers that there is no free person as free as somebody who learns Torah. And as we learned in the past, maybe we'll see it inside, something that we learned together several years ago, source number 5. In Orot HaTshuva, Rav Kook talks about, he previously spoke about how the most natural thing in the world is to improve. Evolution is built into the world. The whole world is constantly improving, and so the most natural thing is for me to also constantly improve. So what's holding us back? Hakshanut lamud tamid b'deya achat. The stubbornness that we have to stay put. Ulitamech ba b'chevlei achatat shenasu l'minhag. And to bind ourselves with the ropes of custom. Well, this is what I do. And not to be willing to be free to grow, to improve. Bein b'ma'asim bein b'deyot. Whether it be to lock ourselves into actions. Somebody who's addicted to smoking, he's not free. And as we learned in the past, God is totally free. He does whatever he wants, however he wants, whenever he wants. He is totally independent. Animals, on the other extreme, they don't have free will. And you can train them, and you can force them, but only God and man in the middle have free will. Man can choose to be godly, or if he is locked into his animalistic tendencies, so he lowers himself to be an animal, and he loses his free will. He doesn't function. He's just, it's not the real me. So whether a person, in his actions or in his opinions, if he locks himself in and he doesn't let himself grow, he machala. This is a sickness. Because it's natural to be free. It's natural to use your free will. But if you don't have your free will, he machala haba mitoch shikua ba'avdut kasha. This is a sickness when people lock themselves voluntarily into slavery. A slave doesn't have free will. And if a person doesn't let himself grow, and he's held back by peer pressure, or by fear of the unknown, or by his ego, right? Saying, well, what do you mean? I have to grow. These are all things that are preventing us from growing and being who we want to be. If a person locks himself into his lower previous stage, that's like voluntary slavery. And it's a sickness because it's not natural. She'ina menicha et or ha'chirut shel ha'tshuva la'ir bo'otzem chela. True freedom, and that's what we're talking about, Rav Kook is talking about tonight. True freedom is to let yourself be who you want to be. Not what you feel like doing, but what you want. What Rav Kook calls my higher desire, or my inner desire. That's what real freedom is about. So if so, getting back to our paragraph, when a person's nature is very, very strong, but as we said a minute ago, we have our higher nature and our lower nature. Paragraph bet. Hanetiyot shel notena. Our different desires.
Can I ask a question?
Sure. Who's this?
Judy Simon.
Yes, Judy, you can always ask.
Thank you. It's not always clear whether the desire that you feel in your heart is a higher level or a lower level. Sometimes you're pulled in a direction and you don't really know whether that's something that's good for you or bad for you. Maybe if you're a tzaddik, you would recognize it, but how do you distinguish?
Fantastic. Fantastic question. The truth is, that is really what tonight's topic is about, but I'll already foreshadow just a drop in when Rav Kook talks about the higher desire and the lower desire in Arot HaKodesh. He says, the real me is not what I feel like doing, but what I want to do. That's a good way of differentiating. What I want is what I really want in life. I want greatness. I want to learn Torah. I want to win a Nobel Prize. I want to win gold in the Olympics, right? That higher desire is very clearly different than the lower desire, which wants to be lazy and just stay in bed or just eat steak and pizza all day. And so... So obviously I'm simplifying it, and sometimes it's a little gray. But in general, Rav Kook there in Orot HaKodesh differentiates between short-term pleasure, which is third-class pleasure, and a higher pleasure, which is long-term pleasure. And the highest pleasure is eternal pleasure. Again, short-term pleasure, that's childish. That's, I want the candy and I want it now. Long-term pleasure is hold back on the candy and you'll have better teeth and lower sugar and a longer life. That's long-term pleasure. But the highest pleasure is eternal pleasure. Okay, but really, that what the clarification we're going to see today is a little overlapping, as I wrote in the topic. Okay, so let's continue. Hanetiot shonotena. Rav Kook is not naive. He knows that we have different types of desires. Yeshnan shenimtzaot beteva kol echad bishvil hamatara shel etzem hanoseh shel hanetiot tahena vekiyumo. For example, the desire to eat. We have a desire to eat because our body needs nourishment. In other words, the eating and the is the goal in unto itself. And God gave us that desire, even in day-old babies, that they have an instinct to eat, to sleep. And that is part of the hisardut, the drive for what's the word? How do you say hisardut?
Survival.
Survival. Okay, the drive for survival. Vehenum nam chazakoten. These are very strong drives. Kefia ro'oi liyot binyan prati. As is necessary for a person. If I need to eat, Hashem had to create in me a relatively strong drive to eat. But that is no comparison to a much greater and necessary worldwide and eternal drive, which is going to be that much stronger. Let's see it now. Paragraph Gimel. Aval od nimtzaot netiyot. But in addition to those drives where the drive is really the end until it's unto itself. Aval od nimtzaot netiyot shetu odatan hi kiyum haklali. There are drives which are meant to, which are necessary, not for the, how do you say again, hisardut?
Survival.
Not for my survival, which is enough for that God created us with a strong individual drive, but if it is necessary for the survival of mankind, and for the Jewish nation, that obviously is going to be a much stronger drive of survival. Vosafat ha-kamuti va-echuti shel ha-matsui. To take the world and to raise it to a higher level in quantity, in quality, not just for myself, but for me and for the whole world and for the future, right? God is going to multiply the survival instinct so much stronger than just the survival instinct of the individual. Bezeh hakoach hu adir ma'od. Rav Kook is saying that the sex drive to continue mankind, so that the sheep should continue their species, God had to make a super strong drive. Not just a regular drive where the individual has a drive to survive for himself or to eat for himself. But if God wants sheep to exist or mankind to exist, he had to create a much stronger drive because that is an eternal drive which benefits not just the individual, but all of his species and all of the future sheep or people that are ever going to exist. And here you can see how Rav Kook is explaining why the sex drive is so much stronger than other drives. Ki lo rak chozek shel davar echad prati nimtza po. We're not just talking about an individual's desire to survive. Ki im chizkat ma'aracha shleima shel atid gadol she'en lagbil erko. We can't even imagine how important the people and human beings are going to be forever and ever. And you know what? We can't even understand how important the species of sheep or cows is. One thing is for sure, if the instinct to survive is strong, the instinct for survival of the species to procreate is going to be much, much stronger. Now, if this is true regarding physical procreation, how much more so Rav Kook is going to say regarding spiritual procreation. And a lot has been written about the overlapping between the sex drive and creativity. A lot has been written about how one leads to the other. And here, Rav Kook is going to talk about our Yetzer and Yetzira, the desire, physical desire for procreation and for the future, goes together with Yetzira, with creativity, whether in art, whether in music, whether in Torah, and our spiritual creativity. And it's going to be so much stronger than the sex drive. So let's, to summarize, there is the basic desire to survive for the individual, like the desire to eat. A much higher and stronger desire is a desire for the future, to procreate and to be eternal. But a third and the highest level of desire is going to be creative in spiritual procreation, in learning Torah, in getting in touch with God, in bringing the Shekhinah down to the world. I'll already foreshadow a drop. What's playing in the background, anybody who's learned Zohar, Kabbalah, knows that you're not supposed to learn Kabbalah until you're married. The idea of not learning till the age of 40, that was only after Shabtai Tzvi. But what the Zohar says is you shouldn't learn Kabbalah until you're married. Why? Because when you're married, you are capable of bringing godliness into the world, of having children, of understanding males, understanding females, understanding how the world functions. And somebody who is not married really doesn't understand a lot of how the world functions, and also spiritually. Rav Kook, paragraph Dalet. Al kein, oto ma'atzor hanitan l'netiya shel nesiat pirot. When we have to want to tie down the tail of the sheep in order to prevent, I'm sorry, right, if we want to prevent the sheep from procreating, shekefi koach hapoel shelo tzarich koach otzer yoter chazak v'amitz miyuchas ela kevel kevlei barzel, right, v'nichbedei mechavlei barzel. We have to tie down the sheep with cables of iron because the drive for procreation is a super strong drive. And that is why, how Rav Kook is beautifully explaining the Gemara, why the Gemara doesn't just say, the sheep are called Rechelim Kevulot, because they have their tail tied down. That's the pshat. But Chazal, Rav Kook are explaining, are taking it deeper, that Kavul also means without fruit. Because we're not just talking about technically tying something down. We're talking about tying something down with iron kevalim, with iron, how do you say, kevel? Cables, with iron cables. Lahorot shebemakom shanu tzrichim lalechet neged lenetiya shetchunata yasiyat perot. If we want to go against that super strong nature to procreate, to have fruit, to have children, offspring, pituach shel atid, which is the development of the future, if we want to go against that nature, az sarich leze koach monea nimratz vechazak, koach barzel. That's the only way you can get in the way of nature. And as we've learned many times, Rav Kook says very often that the strongest force that we have in this world is nature. And that's why we have to get in touch with our nature, especially our spiritual nature. Listen to your nature. Don't go against your nature. We want people to be free, but we don't want them to be animalistic. If it's just a normal, regular, small drive, again, in Merchaot, a small drive like eating or surviving, a small drive where it's just the needs for the instinct of the survival of the individual, that is no comparison with the drive for eternity. Whether to procreate physically or to have fruit of Torah spiritually. Rak bahove ve'aprat levado, because we're not just talking about the need to eat, which is for me personally, and it's for today. It doesn't even save me for tomorrow, because I'm going to be hungry again tomorrow. But if we're talking about the needs of a species, or my eternal needs in this world and the world to come, my spiritual needs, kavu lishna delo avid piri have. When one is bound, that's a good word, bound with bindings of iron, he is not going to have fruit. And what Rav Kook is saying here, as throughout all of his writings, the idea of to be free, to listen to our spiritual, nature, we have to listen to it. And this is a super strong drive, and it's even stronger than the drive for children, because children is eternity in this world. The procreation of a species is in this world. When one learns Torah, and again, the Zohar, what's playing in the background, the Zohar talks about that the ideal world is composed of zachar and nekeva. There is the male and the female. And the way of bringing God into the world, both physically and spiritually, is by uniting the male and the female. Physically, you have a new spark of God. That is the way you create a child, a new person. But also spiritually, the male aspect of the world has to unite with the female aspect of the world and all the connotations that each one represents, the more active, the more passive. Again, this is what all of Kabbalah is about, the right side and the left side. And again, this is the connection between the sex drive and creativity, which is very true regarding creativity in Torah. What is the connection? The most intimate me can be found in creativity. And again, the intimacy that we find when we procreate is also connected with that most intimate of me, my godly soul. Another aspect is that intimacy and the sex drive gives self-confidence. It gives strength to be creative, to think of new ideas. Hey, I can be mechadesh. I can come up with new commentaries on the Gemara, in the Torah. The sex drive helps us tap our inner energy and bring it out. And again, the Zohar says to tap your inner energy is also spiritually, that is what creativity is about. And maybe the clearest aspect is that the libido, the sex drive, is unbridled. It's without constrictions. It's without limitations, right? And that's what Freud has to say on the topic, that throughout life we limit ourselves, we bind ourselves, we don't let ourselves say and do and think things that are inappropriate. But in the bedroom or in the Beit Midrash, Kabbalah says that is where a person should be in his most creative, unbridled, unconstricted, unlimited form. Because we're not scared of being unlimited. Yes, if a person is just living by his animalistic tendencies, then he has a problem with not having limitations. And that's what Rav Kook writes about, for example, regarding the Bezalel Art Institute. Art can be super creative, but it can also be an expression of your animalistic drives, which should be limited to the bedroom, and to the right time, and to the right place. And in the Zohar, it talks about chevruta, when one learns with his study partner, that it is sort of a type of marriage, of intimacy, that you share with each other your innermost thoughts, your most creative thoughts, and your chevruta sharpens me. And he is the contra, the mirror or reverse side of me. That's everybody who's learned in yeshiva knows the best chevruta is somebody whose mind is the exact opposite of my mind. And he's always asking me from a different direction. And I ask on him from a different direction. And he helps me clarify, and I help him clarify. And little by little, we unite to get to the greatest truth that there is. And the Zohar explains that the male and the female are also for that idea of completing each other, where he completes what she needs, she completes what he needs, and they both complete each other, and they unite. And that is what Rav Kook is referring here, that again, he's talking here, the Gemara is talking about eternal procreation. But it's not just to make sure that there are always sheep in the world, or even that there are always going to be people and grandchildren and great-grandchildren in the world. But the greatest creativity, the Kabbalistic or Torah creativity, is tapping into that same energy and that same creativity in the most intimate form possible. To summarize, the drive for procreation and the drive for spirituality overlap. And what Rav Kook is saying here is very, very important. And it's a Torani, a Torah or Jewish take on things that Freud keeps at a relatively low level. And here Rav Kook is raising and taking those two questions. Again, what were the two questions? The question number one, why did God create the sex drive to be so strong? And he answers, our nature is meant to be super strong, especially when we're talking about a nature which isn't just for me, but it's for the entire world and species and for all future generations. And how much more so if it's not just on the first short-term pleasure or long-term pleasure, how much more so for eternal pleasure? And question number two was, now you understand what the Gemara adds by saying kavul is not just the literal meaning that it is binded or bound with iron binding, but also that it is not a fruitful. Because when it is time to be unbridled and to be creative, that is what brings the greatest fruits of the family, of the nation of Israel. And what we have to do is try and get in touch with our national nature, our national eternal drives to bring the greatest fruit and eternal fruit to the world.